Looking at the stats here for fostering, 82% of people in Northern Ireland wouldn't consider it. That's interesting. That's interesting. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that. It's a big, big, big decision. I want to speak to Avery Bowser, who's from Action for Children. Avery, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Nice to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you for coming on the programme. So most people won't consider fostering. First of all, who's fostering open to?
Well, I think you've gone to the nub of the matter there. We were trying to work out, you know, well, why don't more people come forward? And that number is quite staggering. It shows the scale of the difficulty in getting people to come forward. And I think the thing that puts people off is there's a lot of myths out there about fostering that only certain people can foster, whereas actually there's lots of different people can foster. Also, one of the things we looked at with this survey was asking people, you know, if they had a spare room, because when somebody rings us, one of the first things we ask them is, you know, do you actually have the space in your home to look after a child? And actually 50% of the people we asked have a spare room. And then what was really staggering was that 50% of those aren't doing anything with it. It's either empty or just used for storage. So if even a fraction of those people thought they could foster, that's quite a big increase in the number of people coming forward.
Are there any limits on who can foster? Obviously, there's an age limit. Is there any limits whatsoever in terms of status, in terms of lifestyle?
Not at all. I mean, starting question is, do you have the room in your home? Are you over 21? Do you have the skills to work with children? You don't necessarily have to have been a parent before. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be in a relationship as a couple. We have plenty of single carers. And equally, you know, you can be straight, gay, lesbian. You know, we're looking for all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of religious backgrounds, all kinds of racial backgrounds, simply because the children we foster are so diverse themselves and have such a huge range of needs. If we have a very diverse group of foster carers that reflect the community at large, then we're better placed to meet the needs of those children.
And are efforts made to send the child to what would ultimately be a suitable home for that individual child? There was that very controversial story in England recently where a Christian child was being sent to an extremely devout Muslim family who had all the followings within their family of the religion that they followed. And it wasn't deemed to be the ideal place for this little five-year-old Christian child.
Well, Frank, I'd have to challenge that story from the get-go. That story was very, very misrepresented in the media, as was reflected by the court judgment. It was a really, really scandalous piece of journalism. You know, it doesn't even reflect how foster carers are recruited. I mean, you know, ideally you'd like to match children for community, for language needs. We like to, as far as possible, place children as close to home as possible, because one of the things you want children to be able to do is go to school. And actually in that case, one of the determining factors was enabling the children to stay at their school. But obviously sometimes, you know, you don't have the exact match that you want in some of the categories, and certainly where religion comes into place. You know, even in our context here, there's been plenty of Protestant families looking after Catholic children over the years and vice versa. And they have provided excellent care and attended to the religious and cultural needs of those children. And that's one of the things we go through with the training and with any foster carer, is their openness and their willingness and ability to meet the cultural needs of the child, if that child happens to be from a different cultural or racial or linguistic background to them.
But you're bound to be under pressure to find foster carers, to find people who are willing and who are, of course, suitable and decent people, as I'm sure that Muslim family were, all of that, but it wasn't the ideal environment for that particular child.
Well, I think, again, I don't want to dwell on the specifics of that case, but I think if you've read the subsequent media reporting, I mean, it's very clear that that wasn't the case, and the court was crystal clear on the needs of that child were actually being met. But you're right. I mean, the need is very great. You know, I mean, we've currently 2,200 children in care across Northern Ireland. That number's been going up steadily, you know, over the last 10 years. That puts an enormous pressure on to find foster placements, because, for, you know, 80% of those children who are in care are in foster placements. So we are always looking for foster carers. But again, as you say, in our team, we talk about it all the time. It's all about the match, getting the right match. And particularly for children who need staying care long term, you know, where that foster family is really going to become their home and their family for the long term, it's really important to have a full range of carers that can offer different things to different children. And also, it's also about people's abilities and qualities. You know, there are lots of children out there with disabilities who need support, so you need individuals or couples who feel that they can do that. So again, it's thinking completely in the round about what are the needs of the child with the child at the centre.
Now, I know you won't comment on individual cases, Avery, but I'd like you to listen to this one. It's Anne-Marie is on line too. Anne-Marie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, you've tried to foster, but you weren't successful.
Yes, we tried to foster, myself and my partner. We don't have any children. We weren't blessed with children. So we tried to foster a child because we had a lovely home and we had two spare bedrooms and it was a lovely house. And we filled in all the forms. The social worker came out to the house and we got done the medical check. Everything was going fine. And the next thing was when we got the police checks, we were told that we failed, that we couldn't foster because when my partner, when he was 18 years of age, he was at a concert in Uri and he was doing his pee in the street, as a lot of young people do. And he was caught by the police and he was prosecuted and they put down indecent exposure on his record rather than urinating in public. And we tried to explain this and we tried to get, the police didn't have anything, you know, on record to say that I was urinating in public. And we fought and fought and we just gave up hope because we couldn't foster a child because of that. So it is, you know, people say, you know, it's easy to foster a child and we need people to foster a child. But there should be certain circumstances, you know, because when people is 18, like 40 years ago, you know, something stupid like that, surely their record through their life would let the people know, the social workers know that they're not a paedophile or they're not a child molester because they had no other history of it or anything like that.
How much would you like to foster a child, Anne-Marie?
Oh, my heart and soul, Frank. We've tried everything and we just weren't blessed with children. And, you know, it would have meant everything to us, so it would.
I would thank you for that story because every, you know, and it's sad that, isn't it? There's a guy who made a mistake when he was 18 urinating in public. And it's on a record. It's on a file somewhere, indecent exposure, as how it was written down maybe, you know, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad that sound like a loving couple can't help you out.
I think you're right. I'm not going to comment on specific cases, but what it does highlight is that we do very, very thorough checks. You know, and part of that is police checking. It is also checking with social services. And you do have cases, you know, like this where those kind of issues come up and they have to be dealt with, you know, in terms of the selection process. And, you know, there will be couples who or individuals who won't get through because of that. Because obviously, as you appreciate, you have to take the utmost care in terms of recruiting. And that's no comment on what your caller has just said. That's just a broad comment on dealing with the issues of offences. You probably have a broader issue there about and across a lot of people who have offences going back a long time and to the degree to which they may be spent or not. But when you're dealing with children, you really have to err on the side of the utmost caution.
Yeah, it sounds like erring on the incredibly on the side of caution that one, but we're not going to comment on the individual case.
Not at all, not at all.
So Avery, what are the rewards for someone who's considering it at the moment? Because there are bound to be challenges. There definitely are challenges. Some of these children will have come from troubled backgrounds. Some of them will be, you know, of advanced years. They're not going to be wee tots all the time. So, you know.
No, and that goes back to my point, is why we need so many different people. You know, we do need people who can you know, foster teenagers and are comfortable with that. We need, you know, we also need people who can foster younger children. We need people who can probably do something a little bit more short term. We also need people who are prepared to do something longer term.
So on a day-to-day basis, what does it involve? What rewards will you get from it? And what financial help will you get if you take it on?
I think there's the rewards are enormous and you've only got to talk to our foster carers, and I think it's the difference you see in a child's life. You know, and as you say, children who've maybe not had a very good start in life, children who are more vulnerable, children who aren't managing school, children who aren't managing to make friends, children who maybe haven't got enough, haven't got the kind of independence you would expect at their age, and, you know, bringing them into a stable and a warm and a loving home, you can see the difference very quickly. Obviously, in terms of you know, helping to people to foster, you know, foster carers do get an allowance to meet the child's needs, and at Action for Children we also pay a fee to the foster carer. You know, to help them with, to enable them to foster, which is another thing I think helps in terms of, you know, that it's fostering just isn't open to people who have maybe got enough money themselves to do that.
Does everyone get the assistance regardless of how wealthy they are?
From Action for Children, yes, we pay a fee to our carers.
And that money is spent in a structured way to ensure that the child's life is bettered?
Yes, all foster carers get money to enable them to meet the needs of the child and in terms of food and clothing and heating and the expenses that come with having a child. But we also pay a fee to our carers to enable them to foster and to open up fostering to people from all kinds of backgrounds,
and
not just people who, you know, maybe have the means themselves to do it.
Of course. And finally, and day to day, what do you have to do? Is it simply like bringing up your own child?
Well, it is, yes, because it's about, and for us, certainly at Action for Children, it's about being a family and bringing a child into your family. And, you know, I mean, again, some of our carers have their own children and are bringing foster children into their home. Some of our carers don't have their own children and, you know, that's the only child in the home, or sometimes they're fostering siblings, which is a big need to be able to place siblings together. So yeah, it's very much about being a parent to that child on a day-to-day basis. You know, getting them out to school, you know, feeding them, clothing them, looking after their medical needs, but also giving them the nurture and the care and the attention, and putting in very often the things that were maybe missing in their early life.
And how long are they going to be with you? Because it's going to be difficult when, if you've struck up a wonderful relationship with them and they leave, they head back to their birth parents or whatever, that must be tough.
Well, and that's one of the things of fostering, and that's one of the benefits of the training. It's one of the benefits of the support you get from our fostering team in terms of preparing you for that. But again, some people are quite skilled at doing, you know, short-term placements and bridging children into either back to their own home again, if that's possible, or into a longer-term placement. Very often, you know, for us certainly, sometimes short-term placements turn into a longer-term placement, and you're able to see that journey through. We also have a need for carers who can provide what we would call respite or short breaks, which, you know, because some of our children do have quite high needs, and actually the foster carers need regular breaks. So that's, again, part of the, if you like, a wider and a whole family that helps to look after the child.
Okay. Avery, I'm going to have to leave it there. You're just very briefly, a website, as briefly as you can, if people want to find out more.
Certainly contact, look at actionforchildren.org.uk and you'll find information about fostering.
Lovely. Avery, thank you very much. Maybe it's something you would like to do. Maybe it's something you've done or you're doing and you've a story to tell us. I've met some wonderful foster parents who've looked after maybe over 20 children. And quite rightly, on occasions, they've received rewards, and boy, do they deserve them.